Good morning and welcome once again to Cornerstone. We're really glad that you're here this morning. No matter where you are, we're glad that you're going to be here for at least a few minutes. So here's what we're doing today. We are jumping into week two of a two-week deal, looking at the disruption that's happening in our lives. Now, if you weren't here last week, don't panic. It's fine. You can go back and catch up if you want to, but I'm gonna get you restarted here in just a second. You'll be able to jump right in. So we've been talking about how this season that we're in, you could describe it a lot of different ways, but one of the ways that we could describe this season is that this is a season of disruption. We had a normal, okay? And at some point we will have a new normal, but right now we're right here in the middle. It's as if, think about docks. It's as if we jumped off or we got kicked off or we fell off of a dock and we know we'll be on a new one, okay? We know we'll be on a new one, but right now we're somewhere in the middle and we're treading water and we're getting weary. It's hard, it's tiring. And we would give anything either just to reach a dock or to get a little bit of a foothold. And what do we do in this season of disruption? We talked about how really the companies and the families and the individuals that do best during this time will be the ones that take a step back before they move forward, will take a step back and get re-rooted in what's most important. Why did we start selling chicken to begin with? Who are we as a family? And then as individuals that we go back and we get re-rooted in, or for some of us rooted for the first time in who we are. And specifically through one lens. I talked last week about how one of the things that Jesus says is recorded in Matthew 11, 28 and 29 is, look, here's the thing. Those of you who are tired, those of you who are weary, who are beat down, come follow after me and you'll find rest. Learn from me and you'll find rest for your weary souls. Those of us who do best are going to be the ones that go back and remember that. That all the ways that we seek to find rest, that it's ultimately going to be found there. But just like companies got to go back and they got to find their purpose again, but then they don't stay there. They move forward creatively. We got to be people, if we want to be people faithful during this time, who go back, get rerooted in that, and then move forward. Move forward creatively, maybe in ways that we haven't done before. And this morning, we're going to get super practical. And we're going to talk about some ways that we can move forward during this time, even before we get to the new dock, that we can move forward faithfully. Okay, let me pray for us, and then we're going to dive right in. God, thanks for this time. We pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will come, that you'll be with us. Lord, that you guide us as we talk through some pretty important stuff this morning. You know that I prepared some words, but I pray that you bring them to life. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, they're going to be pleasing to you, O Lord. Lord, just come and guide us. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, when I was growing up, one of the activities that was really important in my life was the Boy Scouts. Okay, I was in Boy Scouts from like Cub Scouts, from like Tiger Cubs, all the way up through high school, okay? Boy Scouts was really important to me. It opened up a lot of opportunities for me that I wouldn't have had otherwise, opportunities to hike in Montana and New Mexico, all along the Appalachian Trail in Virginia, went camping 8 to 10 times a year, at least learned some basic skills, leadership skills, also skills like starting fire and how to you know, use a pocket knife safely, just all this stuff. Last summer, I was with my family, and we watched these college kids, there were three of them, try to start a fire, okay? These kids had dry wood, a lighter, and lighter fluid, and they couldn't start a fire. And I looked at Boyd, our 8-year-old, and said, son, that will never be you, okay? Look, I don't trust anybody that can't start a fire with just dry wood and a lighter, much less lighter fluid. Boy Scouts helped me a lot. And one of the things I learned in Boy Scouts is something that may be surprising to you. In fact, if you knew this and you experienced this too, like I want you to email me. One of the things that I learned how to do in Boy Scouts was weave a basket, okay? Most people don't know this, but one of the first merit badges that a lot of Boy Scouts get is basket weaving. And if you don't believe me, that's fine. You can Google it, but I'll do you one better. There it is. That is the BSA basket weaving merit badge. So I tell you that to tell you this. I know a thing or two about baskets, and I would like for you to know a thing or two about baskets. Here are two different woven baskets. One is a rectangle and one is a circle. And I want to talk a bit about the anatomy of a basket. I won't tell you everything. I just feel like it'd be too much for one morning, but I'm going to tell you just some basics. You got the base, okay? But we're not going to worry too much about the base this morning. What I want to talk about are the strands that are going this way and the ones that you can't really see too well that are going this way. The ones that are going this way, these are called weavers, okay? If you got a basket in your house, go ahead and go get that basket. You can look at it. If you have a basket and kids in your house, send your kids to go get a basket, and you're going to see this. You got the weavers that are right here, and your weavers can be in all kinds of different patterns. These are pretty angled. You can see this one. These are angled, but not quite as much. You can use all different kinds of materials for your weavers. Your weavers are what give it a pop. You know, I got these at a fancy store down the road called McCall's, okay? And what makes this one pop at the shelves of McCall's over in Lover's Lane is it's the pattern in the weavers. When you see a basket, you notice the weavers. But inside the weavers, hidden, are the stakes. And you can't really see them, but I can see them from the backside. There's a stake here, a stake here, a stake here, a stake here. In this basket, the stakes actually make up the base also. And they are what come up on the side and what the weavers are woven around. I mean, think about a house. These are the 2x4s on the inside, okay? You got the weavers and you got the stakes. Now, let's pretend for just a moment like I'm a basket, okay? The weavers are all the things that you see in my life. And they're all the things that, frankly, when I think about my life, they're the things that I think about first. The weavers are how we present ourselves to the world and how we typically think about ourselves. But along with that, there are also stakes in my life. And the thing about the stakes are, you can do a lot with the weavers to change the look of the basket, but it's the stakes that actually make up the form of the basket. The stakes in this one are arranged in a rectangle, so you have a rectangular basket. The stakes in this one are arranged in an oval. You can do anything you want to with the weavers. You're going to end up with an oval. You're going to end up with a rectangle. You're going to end up with baskets about this tall, and you're going to end up with baskets that have about the same kind of functionality. You've got the weavers, and they're important for the looks, but what really makes the basket is what? It's the stakes. So I've got another basket here. And this is a basket that's got a different kind of pattern, and it's got different stakes. But what I did is I went ahead and I took another basket that's identical apart. And what you can see is you can see the stakes here, and then you can see the weavers. So again, if I'm this basket, then I know what my weavers are. And the weavers are what you see. And they're kind of the things I do throughout the day and all those things, okay? But what are the stakes? I mean, what are the things in my life, what are the things in your life that actually make the form of who I am as a person? Because I can decorate my life in all kinds of different ways, but what actually determines who I am? What actually forms my life? Let's get really practical here. I'm going to push you on this a little bit. What's your first stake? I want you to be thinking about what are the stakes in your life. What's your first stake? Okay, your first stake is the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning. If you're anything like most of us in here, 9 times out of 10, you're going to do the same kinds of things in the morning. What's your first stake? I mean, most of us, it has something to do with our phones, okay? So maybe your first stake is checking email, or maybe your first stake is checking social media, or maybe your first stake in the morning is checking the news. Maybe for some of you, it's not your phone. Maybe your first stake is your kids waking up, okay? So there's your first stake. They go all the way around your basket, your day, and get to your last stake. What's your last stake of the day? What's the last thing that you do before you go to bed? And it could be argued that these are our two most important stakes, but then think about the other ones throughout your day also. The other things that you typically do, the other things that if somebody were to look at your life that they would say are ordinary, that are routine, what are the other kind of pillars throughout your life, what you do on your way to and from work, yeah, who it is that you talk to the most? What are the other pillars in your life around which the rest of your life is woven? And here's just a simple suggestion that I want to make to you. Your life is going to be woven around something. And those pillars in your life, those daily habits, those daily routines, those pillars in your life, the stakes, they will make up the form of your life. So let me just ask you, do you know that your life is going to be wound around something? It's going to be wound around something. And just observing other people's lives and observing my life, it seems like there are three things, generally speaking, that our lives end up getting woven around. Here's the first thing. Our lives oftentimes end up getting wound around whatever happens to happen. You know what I mean? I mean, you wake up in the morning, and the first thing that happens is that your kids get out of bed. Okay? Well, then whatever mood they're in, that's going to be the first thing that you do. If they're in a great mood, then maybe you're going to hang out with them and have some fun. If they're in a bad mood, then you're going to have to discipline them early on in the morning. Okay? Or maybe your first stake is checking your email. And I'm just going to tell you, if your first stake is anything to do with your phone, you're already doing that. It's already what happens to happen. It already is whatever email you happen to get that's going to get your attention. It's whatever you happen to see on social media. It's whatever happened to be the headline on whatever your favorite news app is that morning. For some of us, our lives, especially during this time, they feel shapeless and they feel like they change every day. And it's because our lives are being woven around whatever happens to happen. And I'll push it a little bit further. Sometimes the stakes in our lives are stakes that are placed by other people. And again, you could argue that this is your phone also. Because when you get on, it's whatever happens to happen. But also, you know what it is? Your life begins to be molded around whoever sent you that email at 1 a.m. that you wake up at 6 a.m. and see. So that first stake in your life is something that somebody else put there. Social media, all those things. Hey, it's whatever happens to happen or the stakes that are placed by other people. Like, you know, you scroll through through Twitter, and what you get on Twitter is you get a bunch of celebrities, you know, that are telling you what you should think, and they're telling you what's wrong with the world and all those things. And then you go on Instagram and you see how great everybody else's life is, okay? You feel bad about your life. And then you get on Facebook and everybody's telling you how to vote, right? I mean, if you start your day on social media, you are starting your day with other people placing a stake in your life. And of course, the last one, pretty obvious, okay? Stakes that are intentionally or purposefully placed. Stakes that are put there on purpose. And let me just ask you, how do you want your life to be formed? By whatever happens to happen? By what other people tell you that your life should be formed around? Or do you want them intentionally placed? Now, as good red-blooded Westerners, good red-blooded Americans, you're going to think that what I'm going to say is that that you have to decide what you want your stakes to be. But here's the problem with that, where that breaks down. I recognize that I don't actually know what's best most of the time. I don't actually know. And left to my own devices, I end up orienting my life, my thought patterns, my habits, all of those things in ways that don't ultimately help me to thrive. I need guidance that comes from beyond me. So I can either say, all right, I'm going to place these strategically on purpose and I'm going to figure these out. Or I can rely on knowledge and wisdom that comes from beyond me. I can search the scripture for knowledge and wisdom. I can look at church history and how other people have oriented their lives, other people who have thrived. And what I have found to be true for my life is that when I orient my life by placing certain stakes throughout my day that point me back towards God, then that's when I'm most likely to thrive. That's when I'm at my best. So let me just ask you, what do you want to be wound around? Okay, what I want to be wound around is I want to be wound around the one who says, look, you come to me and you can have rest. I want to be wound around that. I want to see if that's true. I want to be wound around the one who says that, look, I have come so that you may have life and you may have it abundantly. Because the reality is that I hear that I can have life that's better than I could possibly imagine, but I recognize that for myself and for many of us, that we have a life that we could imagine being a lot better. I want to be wound around the one that can give rest, and I want to be wound around the one who can give that kind of abundant life. But really practically, what does that look like? I mean, what does it look like to not only get rooted back in the knowledge that it's God that can fulfill us, but what does it look like to actually move forward creatively and actually be able to do that? mean, what does it look like to not only know, remember why we're selling chicken, but actually have some new techniques to sell chicken? What does it look like to get grounded in that and to actually now know, all right, what are some new ways that I can move forward? And if you want your life to be wound around the one that created you, the one who knows the best way to live, if you want to be wound around that, well, here's a passage that I want to show you. We've been reading in Acts. In fact, we wrapped it up this past week. And one of the things that stuck out to me in Acts over and over and over again when I was reading it this time around is that as people were traveling around and helping people to come to know Jesus, they weren't satisfied with them just believing in Jesus. They actually stuck around and sometimes they went back and visited and helped these people who had come to believe in Jesus, that they helped them to begin to live lives where their lives were different, where they began to be formed by what they believed. You see, I used to believe that this Jesus thing, that it was just about believing in him. And later I came to find out that it wasn't just about believing in him in my mind. It was actually about being transformed by him. I used to believe that what it meant to be a Christian is to work Jesus into your life. I later began to believe that it means to actually build your life around him, pushing a metaphor perhaps too far. I used to believe that what it meant to be a Christian was to weave Jesus in around some of the other things that I was doing. And what I later came to find out is that Christianity can be so much more than that. It can become the frame around which everything else is woven. And Acts reminds us of that over and over and over again, including in the very, very beginning. So turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And I'm actually going to have it up here on the screen for us. So this is right after 3,000 people became Christians, okay? But then they didn't just leave them there, okay? The apostles, the disciples, they didn't just leave them there. Right after these 3,000 people became Christians, they began to help them to be molded and to be shaped. And watch what they do. They devoted themselves, these are the 3,000 people, to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. So they devote themselves to these four things. These four things become pillars, they become stakes in their lives. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So when they come into a relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and they begin to devote themselves to these four things, and amazing stuff happens. But there's more than that. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So they're doing those first four things, and they are radically committed to helping those that are in need, those that are disadvantaged. They're radically committed to serving one another. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So there's a connection between worshiping in the temple and breaking bread. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Did you pick up on what their lives are built around? They're built around the apostles' teaching. So this is going to be the teachings of the first disciples, some of which became scripture in the New Testament, and their teaching was thoroughly rooted in all the scriptures of the Old Testament. So they devoted themselves to what we would now call scripture, and to the fellowship, so that's to community, and to breaking of bread, which means eating together, so it's part of the fellowship, but it's also pointing towards worship, both through communion, and again, there's a connection between worshiping and breaking bread together, and the prayers, and skipping down a little bit, distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. These are the five things that these early Christians build their lives around. Look, before I say anything about this passage, I'll sometimes ask people, all right, what are the things that you have seen God use to change your life? What are some of the things that you have seen God use to change other people's lives? And invariably, if I've got a group of people together, and I've been doing this for about 15 years, and just ask, okay, what has God used to change your life and other people's lives? Invariably, it comes to these five things: scripture, prayer, worship, community, and service. Now, God uses other things to change people's lives, but invariably, these are the five things that the group agrees upon when they say, yeah, these seem to be the five things that God just regularly uses to change people's lives. Do you see this? It's right here. And then even without looking at this, if you just ask people, this is what you get. So let me just ask you. We know that when we are in the regular habit of practicing these things, that it changes our lives. We just know this. So let me just ask you, what will you be wound around? I mean, moving forward after this time of disruption, when everything's gotten shaken up, what moving forward, thinking creatively about how you're going to go forward, just as a human being, as a man, a woman, as a kid, as a teenager, moving forward, what are you going to be wound around? Let me give you a couple of examples that will kind of drive this home, and I think that that it will help kind of frame this up a little bit. Let's think about someone whose life, maybe it's your life, who's stressed out. Okay? They're stressed out. Well, think about how their day might go. I mean, there are a lot of different ways that we could talk about this. I'll just throw out some pillars. Maybe a stake in their life is that they wake up and they get on their phone like we were talking about earlier, okay? And then they get to work and they get all hopped up on caffeine and they keep their email open all morning long and they're just constantly having people tug at them. And then they go to lunch and they talk with somebody who is also kind of stressed out and they just kind of feed off of each other. And then this person, maybe it's you, in the afternoon they switch to Diet Coke, but they're still getting hopped up on caffeine. Then they go home and they got a couple hours before the kids are gonna be fed and in bed. And they don't really know what to do with that time, but it's stressful because the kids are running around and all that stuff. You finally get the kids in bed, you sit down to watch some shows, and in what you watch are these shows about people's whose lives are even more stressful than yours. You know what I mean? Amy and I like the Jack Ryan show. It's good. But his life is way worse than mine is. His life is way more stressful. And I internalize some of his stress. And then they go to bed after having watched that. But before they go to bed, you spend a few more minutes on Twitter to let celebrities yell at you, right? I mean, this is the way that many of us live our lives. Now, let me just ask you this. What is changing out some of the weaving going to do? You can't just paint the walls and expect things not to be stressful. You can't just change the decor just a little bit. You can't change the pattern or change the fabric. You can't do that. I mean, I could put twine on here, or I could put yarn. I could put it in any pattern and in any color, and it's still going to be a rectangle. It's still going to be a box, no matter what you put around it. Look, I'm going to push you a little bit. If that's your life, think about everything that you could change out in your life, but your life would still be the same if you had those same pillars. You could change your job. You could change your spouse. And if you've still got those same stakes in your life is going to have the same form. Now think about this. What if you started your day and one of just the rules that you had in your life is that before you picked up your phone, you spent a few minutes in scripture. One of the books that I'm reading right now that's really influencing this is a book called The Common Rule by Justin Early. You gotta read this book. It's so, so good. And one of the pillars that he puts in his life is just really simple. It's just scripture before phone. So that's his first pillar, scripture before phone. Imagine if you started your day with that. And I'm talking about 5-10 minutes of it. And then imagine if you moved from that to just a few minutes of prayer about the things that you're grateful for. You're 15-20 minutes into your day, okay? You hadn't burned a lot of time here, but imagine if you started with those two things. And then imagine if throughout the day, when you got stressed out, you looked at the picture of your family on the desk and you took a minute to pray for them, and it reminded you that God cares for them, and it reminded you that the reason that you're working is to provide for them. And it reminded you that God's with you. Imagine if you did that. And imagine if you had lunch with people that didn't stress you out, but people that poured into your life. And imagine if when you got home, you just had this routine. You spent 3 minutes with each one of the members of your family. If you had a family of three, we're talking about 9 minutes. Let's call it 12 minutes with some transition time, right? And you just knew in the 2 hours between when I get home and the kids go to bed, I'm gonna have 3 minutes of just locked in one-on-one time with them. And then I'm gonna have 10 minutes with the whole family with no devices, and we're just gonna talk. I mean, we're talking about burning 25, 30 minutes here. But imagine if you did that. And imagine if you committed to, during that time, completely putting your phone away. And then imagine if you committed to, when you went to bed, rather than getting back on Instagram, what if you committed to just spending a few minutes in prayer, 5 minutes maybe, to reflect on the day and, you know, recognize the things that you wish went different and maybe ask God for forgiveness for those things? And you lift up prayers of gratitude for the things that went well. Imagine how much could go wrong here. and you still be okay. Imagine how much could go wrong around you. This stuff could get super ugly. And you would still have the frame. You would still have the form of those daily habits, those daily routines that would hold you up. Because you see, here's what I've found. It is for me. Is that I have an idea of the kind of basket that I want to be. I have an idea of the kind of man that I want to be. But I can't will myself to get there. I can't make myself get there. I'm just not good enough. But what I can do is put a handful of pillars in my life, a handful of stakes around which the rest of my life is woven. And if those handful of stakes are intentionally placed, and if they're pointing me back towards the one who can change me, towards the one who can give me rest, who can give me that abundant life, I am at my best when that's the case. And friends, I got to tell you, many days I'm not there. I got to get way better at this. But when I'm at my best is when there are those pillars that are pointing me to him throughout the day. So here are a few suggestions. The scripture one, I like it. Scripture before phone, that's good. What about a prayer one? What if you committed to praying just 3 times throughout the day, once in the morning, once midway through the day, and once in the evening? I've been doing this for a while, and I was telling a friend about it. And he calls them micro prayers. I like that. Don't feel like, especially the midday when you got to go on forever, just micro prayers. Just talk to him throughout the day. What if the worship one was committing to worshiping weekly, online or in person? But maybe even want to add in listening to one worship song a day. Just allow that to be a pillar midway through your day. Hey, what if with the community one is you committed to once a week having a good conversation with a friend, or you committed if you want a daily one to sending an encouraging text message to somebody every day? And what if you committed with the service thing to say, I'm gonna, even if I can't tithe the 10%, I'm gonna give a percentage away to other people, and I'm gonna make that a part of my routine. And I just know, because Jesus says this, and I know that it's true, that wherever my treasure is, that's where my heart's gonna be. I'm gonna make that a routine. Imagine, friends, imagine. Imagine what your life could look like if it was built around that. In this time of disruption, when everything is getting shaken up, what if we went back to the basics and we came out with a new framework for our days? Imagine what that would look like. I'm going to end with this. I've had the opportunity over the last couple decades to go on a bunch of these short-term mission trips. And all of them that I've been on have been with teenagers. Like, maybe I'll go on with just adults sometime. That sounds glorious. But it would always be with teenagers. And we'd always have one or two teenagers that didn't want to be there. Maybe you were one of those teenagers. Maybe you are a parent. You're a parent that sent one of these kids on one of these trips. They didn't want to be there. And you could tell. Just get out of the car. You could just tell. And invariably, by the end of the week, most of them would come up, some of them in tears, and say, this has been one of the best weeks of my life. I didn't want to be here. I'm glad that I came. So my last sermon on the last night of all of these mission trips, it's always the same. It's always the same. You want to know why this is one of the best weeks of your life? You want to know why? Just check this out. You know what we did? We brought you here. And we brought you here. We woke you up early every day, and we made you get up and do a devotional time where you prayed and where you read the scripture. Every day. We made you do that. We put your devotional in your hand and told you, here it is. We made you come to worship at night. And in fact, if you weren't in worship, then you'd get in trouble. We'd go check your bed and make sure that you were in worship. Right? We take attendance to make sure you're there. And we put you in a group with other people, and we said, this is your community. This is your mentor for the week, and these are your friends for the week. We put you in a community, and we made you talk about what's going on in your life every night. And we, every morning, put you in a 15-passenger van, put some stuff in the back of that van, drove you to a house, dropped you off with a homeowner, and said, this is who you're serving this week. Your whole week this week revolved around prayer, worship, scripture, community, serving others, and it was the best week of your life. You know why? Because you were actually made to live this kind of life. It's actually the way that you were designed. When Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest, is that he knows that when you come to him and you follow after the way that he's teaching, that you will be following after the way that you were created to be. You're not created to just have a life where you just take life as it comes. You're not created to have a life where other people are telling you what to do and what to think and what to believe. You're not created to have that. You are created to have a life that has these pillars in it of scripture and prayer and worship. You're created that way. And when you live that way, you come alive, maybe in ways that you haven't before. And I always tell them, look, here's the deal. We made it easy for you this week. It's going to be harder when you go back to Dallas. But you can do it. And you can do it. You can pick up the Bible before you pick up your phone. You can do that. You can pray these micro prayers throughout the day. You can do that. You may not be at a place where you can give 10%, but you can give a percentage and you can feel your heart attached to things that they haven't been attached to before. You can do that. You can do that. We can't change our lives to become whatever basket we want to, but we can put those stakes in our lives that will orient us around the one who created us. We are at odds with our nature when we try to just work this Jesus thing into our ordinary lives. We are in line with our nature when we have these stakes in our lives and everything else flows around them. So that's our challenge, friends. We need more sturdy baskets. We need more strong baskets, men and women and teenagers and children whose lives are being formed by the God who loves them. We need more sturdy baskets. Because when we have sturdy baskets, these baskets get filled up with God's love and with God's grace for us and for us to give to other people. We need more of that. And this is the time when we're between these docks. This is the time to get rerooted in what matters most and to move forward with a new form to shape our days. Friends, what is your life being woven around? Give this a shot, and let's see what God can do with that. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time. We pray that you will work in each of our lives to help us to be more oriented towards you. Lord, we want to be men and women, teenagers and children whose lives are just utterly saturated with your presence. We want to be people who don't work our faith into our lives, but we want to be people who work our lives around you. So help us to do that. Give us wisdom, discernment, understanding about how to do that, and then give us the courage and the strength to actually be able to move forward with it. God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. And we thank you for the promises of Jesus that he will give us rest and that he will give us abundant life when we turn to him. Help us to turn to him throughout the day, putting intentionally stakes in our lives that point us towards him. God, we love you. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, friends.